Well, it's certainly wonderful to be at the house of prayer this morning. We're on our way to see our daughter again. We just seen her, but going to see her again. And it's good to be here with you at the home church. I go back a long way with some of you. Some of you, I go back as far as I can remember. And that's almost 57 years. So I've been with you a lot of times, been in service with you. Some of you I've known all your life, and it's just good to be at the home church this morning. And I appreciate this opportunity today. It would have suited me fine had the Holy Ghost just took over in this service. I want to say from my heart how much I'll try to express how much I appreciate Brother Shad and Sister Kathy, their family. Being your pastors, and he's my pastor. Whoever pastors this church is still my pastor as long as they're a good, wholeness, Bible-believing brother. And I appreciate Brother Shad so very much. He means much to me and to Sister Gayla and to Rachel. And just appreciate him very much this morning. And I want to say I really enjoyed the adult Sunday school class.
Yeah.
Brother Hank done an excellent job teaching the class. And if you travel around some, you'll find out that every adult Sunday school class is not, well, some of them could use a little improvement. But Brother Hank did a wonderful job this morning, and I just appreciate that so much. Singing was outstanding. Brother Collins done a great job leading the singing, special songs. It's just been wonderful. I don't know how the rest of the service is going to be, but up till now, it's been wonderful. And it's so good to see you here today. I'm going to read a very familiar text. I can quote, but I'm going to read it from the Bible. And I'll try to preach to you a little while this morning. I feel like God laid something on my heart for us today. I'll probably preach this same message again at my church next Sunday morning. Make it back home. But I really felt like God wanted me to talk to you about this little subject this morning. And I'm going to preach on, Lord being my helper, the burden of the Lord. John chapter 3, verse number 16. John chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for your precious Spirit that we feel in the sanctuary of the house of prayer this morning. We thank you for Brother Shad, Sister Kathy, and these precious people. Lord, I know that you have laid this message on my heart, but I have to have your help, Lord. I cannot do anything without you. I depend on you, Lord. And again, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to stand by me and give me strength and words and wisdom to be able, Lord, to preach this message. Lord, I pray that every heart will be touched here today and will leave your challenge to do more for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. I've already stated to you this morning, I just kind of want to discuss with us a little bit about the burden that the Lord has.
All right.
Now, probably to some of you, you're wondering now, how in the world could a God as great as our God and a Son as great as his Son, Jesus, could have a burden? Well, what burden is that God would have that he himself would not be the answer to? What kind of burden could God himself have that he would not be the answer to? Now, I'm not going to go into a long discussion on this, but I'm simply going to tell you today that God has a burden.
Yes.
Now, as I preach to you this morning, the objective of most, I should say most, but the objective of a good many Bible-believing, church-going, even holiness people is not to be concerned with the burden of the Lord.
So true.
Many church people are concerned with getting the Lord concerned about their burdens.
Yeah.
Help me preach.
All right.
Oh, yes. And many church people are trying this morning to get God's attention and to get God involved in their needs, get God involved in their burdens, get God involved in their problems. But most of our efforts, we might say, are centered around, Lord, get involved in what I am involved in.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this morning, that's not the burden of the Lord. Now, as I thought on this message, and I worked on it and prayed about it, it seemed to become clear to me that as we begin to enter into a brand new year, having finished up the Christmas season, that we needed to look at our lives just a little bit and see what God would have for us.
Amen.
It, you know, a lot of folks call New Year's and, they would say we're going to make resolutions. Now, the black people call it a determination. And this morning, I think that there's some folks right here that I'm preaching to, and maybe me included, that might need to make some New Year's determinations as we enter into the last week of 2004, preparing to go into 2005.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder what Brother Shad would think if some of you tonight stood up in the service and said, now, Brother Shad, I am determined that I am not going to ask the Lord for anything just special for myself this year, but all I'm going, this next upcoming year, but all I'm going to do is say, Lord, here I am. I'm just going to be a servant, Lord. I'm going to wait on your direction, and whatever direction you give me, that's exactly what I'm going to do this upcoming year. I'm not going to spend time asking for this and asking for that and trying to get you involved in my burden, but Lord, I just want to be involved in your burden and do what you would have me do. I feel like your pastor would probably shout out of his boots. Hallelujah. All right, I want to preach a little more to us here this morning. You know, as we look at this, I know that some of us have burdens. There's no question about that. For some, it is a personal illness. And when we have a personal illness, we are at liberty to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for healing. Hear me preach now.
Amen.
And for some folks, it is the lack of a job. And if you don't have a job, you should certainly ask the Lord help you get a job. Some it may be the lack of money. Some it may be the lack of satisfaction. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we pastors face a lot of people that are not satisfied with their lot in life. Oh, yes. And they need satisfaction. That's a burden. There's also a good many folks that are not peaceful in our generation. There's some that have a lack of housing and a lack of this or a lack of that. But Christians, genuine, born again, blood washed, holy living, Bible believing Christians, mature Christians, I'm going to say this morning, they must rise above that just looking out for our own interest. But if we don't watch ourselves, church, our interest in God will become wrapped up in what God can give us. Heard a little saying one time, it said, went something like this. If everybody in my church was just like me, what kind of church would this church be? Hallelujah. Help me preach now. I know you're going to. All right. But Christian, the Christian journey is not only what God provides for us, but it involves what we commit ourselves to do for Him. Hallelujah. And you can't do anything for God unless you know what God's burden is, until you know what His genuine, deep-seated concern for us is. And when we know this, then we can do something for the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Really, what can you do for God? Well, one thing about it, you can't buy Him a brand new suit of clothes. He don't need that. No, sir. When the heaven belongs to Him and the earth is His footstool, what are you going to do for God? What can you do for God? Well, He don't need a car to drive. He don't need a house to live in. Amen. He don't need a gold coin of any kind, because the streets where He lives are paved with pure gold. So my question is, what can we do for the Lord? So then is, what is the burden of the Lord that you and I should become involved in, not just involved in, but you and I should become obsessed in the burden of the Lord? My question to us this morning is, what is on God's heart? What is God thinking about this morning? I want to tell you today, the burden of the Lord is the souls of mankind. You hear me? The burden of the Lord is the souls of mankind. And that's what God is concerned about this morning. God is not so concerned about you getting a better job. God is not concerned so much about those things, because Jesus would never have come to all the way from heaven, been nailed to an old rugged cross, shed His life-giving blood just to get you and me a better job. Oh, He had other ways, but He didn't come here just for that. He didn't even come here to pass out blessings. He wouldn't have had to go to Calvary to pass out blessings. He wouldn't have to go to the cross to help you and I. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I need to preach this man like a shout right now. He wouldn't have to be nailed on the old rugged cross just to bless you and I, because He had angels and archangels that could have passed out blessings. When Elijah was by the brook and the raven fed him in the morning and fed him at night, God still got ravens to pass out blessings. Oh, yes. But He came because He was burdened for the lost souls of men and women. That is the burden of the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I just read to you John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Oh, God gave His Son. Hear me? God gave His Son. Your lost son is the burden of the Lord. Your lost daughter is the burden of the Lord. Your lost mama, your lost daddy, your lost brother, your lost sister, oh, your lost friends, hallelujah, those colleagues that you work with that do not know God, they are the burden of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! But what disturbs the Lord this morning, or I feel like what disturbs the Lord this morning, is that He can't get His church burdened with His burden. Hear me preach. I believe what disturbs God more than anything this morning is that He's having trouble getting His church concerned about His burden. Oh, God. Oh, in this present age, you and I are to work the works of Him that sent us while it is yet day, for the night's coming, and the night's coming quickly when no man can work. Oh, and the Lord sends you a blessing, and he has blessed a lot of us. Oh, you can be certain he didn't just have you in mind when he sent you that blessing. He didn't have you in mind as the end result of the blessing. He's just trying to get it through you to so it can go somewhere else. He's blessing us in order that we can bless somebody else. He uses us as an instrument as he blesses us, that it might go and flow into someone else for his glory, not ours. And I want to tell you something. If he can get it through you, he will send you a blessing. Oh, yes. And that's why he hasn't sent some people blessings, because if he really sent them blessings, all they would do is try to build a dam and dam them up, or can them up and set on the can, or put it in the bank and not spend it for nothing. But I'm preaching to you this morning simply this, that when God sends you a blessing, you have the responsibility of saying, God, what do you want me to do with this blessing? Woo, hallelujah. You know, God's not interested in overcrowding your overcrowded closet already. God's not interested in you having to build some more shelves in your garage and build you a little barn behind your house and shelve it, and another little barn and another little barn. You just pass people's houses and it'll amaze you how many utility houses you can find out back. And they got them full of stuff. But God's not interested in that. He's not worried about filling up your storeroom so you got to build extra shelves and stack more stuff up and more stuff up and more stuff up. No, no, no. But God is trying to reach some naked, some homeless. He's trying to reach a sinner man. Oh, he's trying to reach those lost people. All of us must admit that at times we have been poor friends of God. Oh, God. You know, you don't want to admit it. I don't want to admit it. But there have been times in my life I have been a poor friend of the God that loved me enough to give his only begotten son on Calvary that I might be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, because we just haven't passed on the blessing just like we have needed to. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Take, for example, I will not call any name, but very recently, a man was sitting and talking to me, and he was an insurance salesman, a member of our family. And he said, I was shocked beyond words. He said, I was at an underwriters convention. And he said, some of the men come up to me and said, say, I want you to go with us downtown. He said, we're going to go downtown and work the soup line. We're going to go downtown and feed some homeless people. And this man that I know, he said, you're going to do what? They said, we're going to go downtown and volunteer some time. We got the afternoon off. We're going to volunteer some time and work the soup line and feed some homeless people. We want you to go with us. He said, well, I can tell you right now. Now, listen to this. This man claims to be saved, too. So I can tell you right now, I'm not going. He said, that's a bunch of lazy bums that wouldn't work if they had a job, and I'm not taking my afternoon and going downtown. He did say one thing right, though. He said, I'm a big enough hypocrite as it is. He said that right. Big enough hypocrite as it is, but he said, I'm not going down there and just put on an act and feed them folks that I'm not one bit concerned about. What would you have done, he said. I said, I'd have went and fed them. That ended that story. That ended that conversation. But we need to know what God is doing for us and need to have a blessing to pass it on.
Amen.
I want to call your attention this morning to 2 Kings. Because I'm not going to preach very long. So I never preach over 2 hours. So don't get excited. In 2 Kings chapter number 18, I want to start reading verse number 1. Preach to you a little bit here. So while you're turning there, I want to say this. See, Hezekiah, king of Judah, is a biblical example of one in the Bible who had the burden of the Lord. When he became king, he did not consider his desires. He came into the kingship knowing what God lacked, what God disliked, what God wanted, and what God did not want. I want you to listen to the way he describes it here in 2 Kings chapter number 18. And it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abba, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves, break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For under those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, and kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and rebelled against the kingdom of Syria, and served him not. Now, as we look at this morning, we find out that he immediately started doing what God wanted him to do. He tore down the high places. Amen. He destroyed the idol statues. Thank God for that. Amen. He destroyed the wicked worship. He got busy doing what God wanted him to do. And I wish this morning I could convince a few of you house of prayerites this morning to get busy doing exactly what God wants you to do. Hallelujah. I wish you could tear up your most wanted list this morning. For us to tear up our most wanted list and do what God wants. Oh, yes. And find out what God wants. Tear up that list and find out what God wants for us, and then be willing to do it. And I wish that you would quit running around hunting for blessings and decide to be a blessing. Did you hear what I said? Oh, I know Sunday morning folks are sleepy, and I know they're not hungry after Christmas Day. Then they're probably wondering about leftovers after a while anyway. But what I'm saying is, I just wish folks this morning would quit running around and hunting for a blessing and say, oh God, make me a blessing instead. Make me a blessing. Help me to get involved in your burden, that souls of men might be won to the kingdom. You know, God's folks must not waste the time of grace just searching out personal blessings. God's people must decide that the Lord saved us for a work and not for a rest. He didn't just save us to come to church and sit down on the pew and say, well, thank God I'm saved. I know I've got to be careful what I'm saying. And I know what folks mean sometimes, but it just grabs me. And unfortunately, I've been able to keep my tongue intact without saying anything too much. But when I shake somebody's hand and say, how are you? Well, I'm here. I've made it. To me, they're saying to me, you just need to be blessed and be grateful that I'm even here. You know, I made it. Hear me preach now. Oh, yes. But God's people need to decide this morning that God saved us to work, not to just rest, not to just come in and flop down on the pew on Tuesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night or in revival and say, well, I'm here. God has called us to work for Him and to involve ourselves and get involved in His burden for lost humanity. Hallelujah. Oh, not a fabulous living, but a work. That's what God called us for. Not a fabulous living, but a work. Hezekiah worked the work of God. The scripture says he did everything that was right in the sight of God. It says God was well pleased and he caused him to prosper. That prosperity was not money in his pocket. No. But that prosperity was that enabled him to do God's will, enabled him to work for the Lord. That's what that prosperity was. And if you really want a blessing, oh God, get wrapped up in the work of the Lord. Amen. If you really want joy in your soul, help somebody that's lost to find their way to an altar and give their heart to the Lord. If you want joy, work the works of Him that has sent you while it is yet day. Amen. I want to share with you a little personal something that happened here recently. And then the climax of it was last Monday. But it started 2 years ago, about 2 years ago. And this really, you know, Gail and I have discussed this, and it bothered me badly. A lady attends my church who has had a brother-in-law that was as wicked and mean as he could be. He's crippled, had a real bad back, and was crippled and could hardly walk at all. Drank continually, smoked, cursed, just lived that terrible life and made life miserable for this lady's sister. Well, she requested prayer for her sister several times. I knew this man somewhat. And while I was praying about 2 years ago, God dealt with my heart and God spoke to me and said, I want you to go visit Luke. I said, Lord, his wife goes to a church. She's got a pastor. God said, I want you to go visit Luke. Well, I find out where Luke lives, and I go over there. Luke's laying on the couch in his living room. Luke's drunk. He knew who I was. And I told him that I was praying, and God dealt with me to come by and see him. He said, well, that's good. And I talked to him a while and prayed for him and left. For 2 years, I went by consistently. Not every day, I don't mean that. But I mean, I go by sometimes once a month, sometimes twice a month, sometimes more. For 2 years, and I see this man. He liked Fords. I didn't let on. I didn't own a Ford, but I visited with him about Fords. He liked guns. I had a gun manual. I took it over there, and we'd go through that gun manual. He'd look up his guns and find out what they're worth, and he liked that. And Brother Hal, it took weeks and weeks to become a close friend of this dying man. Almost 2 years went by, and I hear that his wife's pastor finally come to see him. A few folks from her church came to see him when they heard he was getting worse. Had emphysema, asbestosis, all kinds of bad problems. Got in the hospital, almost dead, oxygen level down to 50. And they called me, and I went down to see him. Stuck out his little old hand. He probably didn't weigh 100 pounds. He wasn't but 59 years old. Weighed 100 pounds, still got a little old hand. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. I prayed for him. Last Monday morning, About 7:30, his sister-in-law called me. Said, Brother Don, he said, Luke wants you to call him. I've been going every day to the hospital to see him. So I knew I was going, so I didn't call him. I just went on down there. When I got down there, he was under the oxygen and could hardly speak above a whisper. Finally, he just kind of wheezed out and called his wife's name, said, she'll have to tell you. So I said, the lung doctor had been by and said he wasn't responding to no treatment. His regular doctor had been by and said he wasn't responding to no treatment. Tears are streaming down his face, and his wife said to me, Brother Donnie, said, Luke says he wants to pray, but he don't know how. Will you help him? Now understand, now this is a man that told me a number of times, Brother Donnie, I don't think there's no use of me praying. He said, my life is so messed up. I've done so much. He said, God's not going to take me. I would tell him, I would deal with him, talk to him, pray for him. But he never cried till this day. This is what the burden of the Lord's about, folks.
Amen.
So I looked down at him and I said, Luke, is this right? He nodded his head. So I just get to talk to him. I said, Luke, months and months ago, I came to see you for the first time. When I showed up on your porch, I said, I told you I was there because God sent me to see you. I also told you that I knew that your wife had a church and had a pastor, and I was not there playing pastor. That I was just concerned about you. And I said, and you told me that you did not think God would take you. I said, I'm going to tell you something again, Luke. I said, God would have never dealt with me to go to your house and visit you if he wasn't interested in saving your soul.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Tears on his face this time. And I quoted some more scriptures to him and talked to him a while longer. And finally I said, now Luke, it's up to you. If you want to pray and you want to open the door of your heart and let Jesus come in, I'm here to help you. It's up to you. You want to? Yes, sir. I sure do.
Amen.
Of course, I had prayed with him several times. But it's amazing, church family. A lot of folks really don't understand how to pray.
Right.
Some of us that's raised in church, I mean, we know how to pray. We know how to pray. So I had to start out, I repeat after prayer. I don't like to do that much, but I had to start with that. But as he began to repeat a few words and cry, get his breath, a few words and cry, get his breath, a few more words and cry, get his breath. After a little while, I felt that connection come. I looked down at him and I saw it, church, when his countenance changed.
Glory.
That hard, dark countenance became a countenance of joy and light.
Glory.
You see, he had been begging his wife, bring me a flashlight. I mean, lights everywhere. He said, oh, it's dark. Bring me a flashlight. I knew what that meant. And I told him so. After he got saved. But in a little while, when I saw that countenance change, his volume got louder. And he got louder. He couldn't talk up this time hardly at all. Got louder. Next thing I knew, he was left out of his back, waving his arm back and forth like this, saying, Lord, I thank you for saving me. Lord, I thank you for saving me. Jesus, I thank you for saving me. Woo, that meant more to me than Christmas dinner meant.
Yeah.
You talk about bringing joy to my heart. It did. Woo! Hallelujah. The burden of the Lord is people just like Luke Smith. Hallelujah. That nobody cared about. That nobody was concerned about. Just an old drunk that would be better off. He's on his own family thought. We'd be better off if we could just get rid of him. All he is trouble. And that's right. But that day when he got saved, everybody come that day. Oh, his wife's pastor come. He told her, said, I got saved. Said, the Lord saved me this morning. His family come. He told him, I got saved. This went on Monday. This went on Tuesday. And about 1 o'clock Wednesday, Luke went to heaven. Woo! I'm telling you, folks, God's in business. And what are we doing? Are we doing the will of God? Do we have the burden? Are we just burdened about ourselves? It's time to put ourselves aside and say, God, what can we do to help you with the burden? Woo! Hallelujah, Mama Kota. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Tell us about this burden business, church. And I don't like to bring up bad things. About 5 years ago, church I pastor, we had out of the blue, we had a few, three deacons that decided they would fire me on Wednesday night. And they did. On Thursday night, the church took it up and the deacons left, and I'm still there. The main complaint on this man right here was that I spent too much time with sinners. Had the nerve to say so. We need visiting more so. Don't fool with them sinners. They're not going to be able to come to church anyway if they get saved. They ain't got no money to pay, no way. Don't fool with them. I'm still there. Still there. I got to praying. I said, oh God in heaven, why did you leave me here? When better preachers than me, these same people, or two of them anyway, they moved everybody before me. It was a 5-year church. Stayed 5 years and you was fired. If you made 5 years, he was fired. God spoke to me just as plain as day, folks. He said, because you visit who I won't visit. Right. I can't help what anybody says. I got to keep helping God with his burden. But what I'm trying to do this morning is get you interested in helping God with his burden. Woo! You see, God puts us here to help him with his burden. Oh, I feel like I'm going to run away. I said, God put us here, him with his burden. When Hezekiah had the burden, and God and done exactly what God wanted him to do. But in the next chapter, we find that he was sick unto death. And he turned his face to the wall and began to cry to God and say, God, you know I've done right. You know, Lord, I tore up the groves. I tore down the idols. I put things back in order. I've served you. Oh, and the Bible says that he wept. And God spoke to Isaiah and said, go back and tell him. I've added 15 years to his life. Oh, I'm here to tell you this morning, when you will help God with his burden and you will do the things that God wants done in your life, God will do exactly all those things that you need done in your life. Oh, yes. Without a doubt, I said God will do exactly, amen, what needs to be done in your life. Oh, you know, that, you know, he is Isaiah spoke to him. He told him, he said, I'm going to let the shadow move forward. Give you a little 10 degrees. Let the shadow move forward. And Hezekiah said, no. Said, that's an easy thing. Let's just let it move back as a sign. And God moved back the shadow 10 degrees and let him know that God had heard his prayer and his supplication. So when you're dealing with God, whatever your needs are, while you are working for him, God will supply your need. Now, church, I want to tell you something here this morning. Oh, if God can divide the Red Sea, oh yes, if God can send manna down from heaven, hear me preach now. Oh, if God can heal the sick, God can regulate the mind without medication. Hear me now. There's a lot of folks today, well, I'm going to have to try this and try that and try something else. God can regulate your mind without the use of tranquilizers, without the use of medication, without the use of psychic drugs. God can regulate your mind. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, yes. God can fix the heart. Oh, he can rejoice your soul. He can make a way for you when there seems to be no way. He can fight your battles for you and help you to win. He can do it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, but if you'll work for him, if you'll help him with his burden, and I said work for him and keep on working for him and forget about yourself and say, Lord, here I am. I want to work for you. Just pay your tithes. Amen. Give your offerings. Then forget about it. I am standing here this morning as a living witness that God will take care of you. That God will see you through. That God will give you strength. And church, it does pay to serve the Lord. Oh, about 6 weeks ago, a little more, I got really, really bad sick. And you folks prayed for me here. Yeah. Bad, bad sick. The pain was so bad I couldn't straighten up. And just hurting something terrible. Finally went to the doctor. Soon as they looked at me, they said, you got appendicitis. Sent me for some blood work and it come back and it wasn't consistent with appendicitis. So they sent me to a surgeon. He checks it out. He says, no. He said, I think it's your gallbladder. Send me over a CT scan, and he finally get that back, and he said, yeah, it's a gallbladder, but I think you got a hernia. Oh, and here I was a hurting, so this was Friday, and he said, when you get back from getting the CT scan and all this, he had to call me, and said, I'll call you and let you know what to do next. Well, I waited Saturday. I never heard a word from that doctor. And Sunday morning I went to church as sick as I could be, couldn't hardly straighten up, struggled up and taught my adult Sunday school class, hurting so bad I couldn't hardly stand it, finally sat down on the front pew, and the choir began to sing. Power of God began to move as I sat there on the pew. I sat on the pew. It just come to me real strong. Now you can sit here and hurt, or you can get up and try to get into this service and let's see what God will do for you. Well, as I sat there on the pew, the power of God began to move, and finally I took all the strength and effort I could, Brother Hank, to stand up straight. But I stood up straight, and when I stood up straight and raised up my hands, the power of God fell. Woo, hallelujah! I began to dance all over the place, and I've been healed ever since. And I still ain't heard a word from my doctor. I don't know what happened to him in the process. Woo, hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God is wanting people that he can work through. God is looking for individuals, hallelujah, that he can be a part. You can be a part of his burden. Oh, as we enter into the new year, church, as we enter into the brand new year, which we'll be here in a few days, let's be like the old black sister, and let's say we got a new year determination, and we're going to be determined. This time, we're not going to be looking out for number one, but we're going to say, Lord, what is your burden, and what will you have me to do? And say, well, I'm going to get up off of my pew, I'm going to go out those doors, I'm going to pray and let God lead me to somebody that needs to know Jesus, and you tell them about Jesus. God can fill this church up to capacity, and God's a working here, but God is looking for individuals to help Brother Shad and Sister Kathy work for him and to carry the burden of souls. That's what God's concerned about. That's right. Oh, God could have healed us even without the straps. Oh, God, give us peace. Oh, and joy. Hallelujah. Not the chastisement. Hallelujah. But his burden was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whose believer shall not perish for everlasting life. I want to close with one thing. Maybe Candy off my message. But this keeps coming back to me. At Luke Smith's wake, one of his nephews, a matter of fact, two of them, nephews came up to me and said, "Oh, Brother Donnie," said, "I sure wish, hope, the Lord's as merciful to me as he was Uncle Luke." I looked at that fella. So I'm going to tell you something. I said, Luke didn't sit on a church pew about 6 months out of the year. I said, Luke didn't read his Bible every day. Luke didn't try to pray like some people I know. And I said, I'm here to tell you, son, the chances of God dealing with you on your deathbed is very slim, because you've had too many opportunities. He said, are you talking about me? I said, that's exactly who I'm talking about, son. I'm talking about you. Because I said, you've been in, you've been out. You've been in, you've been out. And I said, you'll probably just keel over without a chance to pray. Well, I hope not. I said, well, I hope not too. He said, I know I'm not where I need to be. I said, well, you need to get where you need to be.
That's right.
I think I'm talking to somebody here this morning. You know you're not where you need to be. You know you're not where you need to be. You need to get where you need to be. It's not God's fault. It's not Brother Shad's fault. If you're not where you know you ought to be, you need to get there. And God will help you. You may not be able to wait around right to the very last and struggle around and get repentance and then go to heaven. No, these cases here that I just told you about this morning, this one case is an isolated case. And I don't know why God saw fit to send me there 2 years and work on him. And I don't know why God sent me to an old man for 5 years and work on him. Didn't go to church. Every time I tried to talk to him about his soul, he turned his head to the side. He wouldn't even talk to me. About 3 years ago in December, I remember that being December, he got in the hospital. I walked in one day, and I looked at him. I said, Roscoe, I said, you know, I've been visiting you a long time, and you ain't never prayed. I said, don't you think it's time for you to pray? He started crying. Never had before. He said, you're right. You're right. That day, Roscoe Tanner got wonderfully saved. Lived a while. Got saved on his son's birthday, one of his son's birthdays, that was a Christian. Lived, he was never able to come to church, but lived several weeks after that. Gloriously went to heaven. God gave him opportunity. But now somebody like some of us, that's been in church and been to church and been to church, been in and out, don't pay attention when we do come to church. Try to turn everything off. Look around, chew gum, whatever else. One place I was at, I could hear. But I'm a little bit deep, but I could hear. They was playing with a cell phone during church service. I don't know what it was, playing games. Was that text messaging or whatever that was? I'm not sure what they're doing. But in the courtroom, they picked it up. But in church, see, we have to let it go. I say, in the courtroom, they pick them up. I've been right there. I know what happens. As in church, we have to let them go. Because we picked up your phone, you throw a fit and leave. I don't want to kill this now before I get through. But that's exactly what happened. We picked up your toys during church, you'd go home. I said, God, I ain't coming back. But that old judge says, bring it up here. They bring it up there and hand it to him. But the thing about this, the judge of all judges takes a good look every service. He allowed me to come back here this morning to try to challenge you this upcoming year to find out what God's burden is and for you to do your part in winning souls. Let's raise our hands and thank him this morning. Oh.